what is Gospel Grace Church and how do we become it? So to begin with, we kind of have to lay the groundwork for how we become certain things as Christians. And the way we start is we're going to start by talking about discipline. So what is discipline and why do we need it? Got a picture of an army helmet up here because instantly when I think about discipline, I think about the military. I think about the tool that they use to change boys into men, right? The tool that they use to change boys into men is what? What is that? Yeah, drill sergeant, right? It's a man who, I just have pictures of men with veins popping out of their neck, right? Normally there's sweat on their forehead. They're yelling at you. They don't have a voice anymore because they've yelled at all the soldiers before you. And the drill sergeant is at what place? What is that place? What is that time of your life when you're in the military? You're getting trained. Boot camp. Boot camp, right? And basically, all of boot camp is discipline. We all need discipline. We all need it. It's something that gets us out of the bed in the morning whenever we don't feel like it. Oddly enough, I'm speaking on discipline this morning and teaching on it, and I had trouble getting out of bed this morning. How many had trouble getting out of bed this morning? Okay, yeah, this morning, the alarm went off, and I looked at it, and I was like, oh, this is horrible. It sounded like that in my head, and I did not want to obey it. It's horrible. We need discipline. Discipline, basically defined, is the rules of order that keep us in check. It keeps us from becoming the human sloth, right? Discipline, basically defined, is the set of rules that create order and behavior that are maintained by training and control. The military uses it. It's very important. But discipline by itself is not enough. We need something more than discipline. Just ask the boy who is sitting inside practicing the piano on a summer day, looking outside at his friends playing baseball in the park, right? Or more commonly to our day, the boy who's practicing piano while his Xbox Live account buzzes with invites to play Call of Duty. Okay, that would be more where we're at, right? He plunks out the notes. It doesn't sound right, but he just keeps working. And all he can think about is, I just want to get outside and play with my friends. Discipline for that boy is not enough. He needs something more, right? On your quote, on your sheet, I've got a quote. And this is just, it's powerful because this is exactly what we need with discipline. It's this: discipline without direction is drudgery. We need direction for our discipline. Right? So imagine with me, I'm telling a story so I can make up the rules. Imagine with me that boy has a time machine, okay? And he's able to transport himself way into the future. He transports himself to the future and poof, magically, he's in a concert hall. Okay? There he is. And he's listening to beautiful music being played by a pianist up front. I mean, there's amazing things happen. You ever seen somebody that's like attacking the piano? Okay? Like just attacking it. This guy's up there, his hands are flying, there's stuff everywhere. He's just making beautiful music on the piano. And the boy can't help but say, wow, wow. Like it just comes out of his mouth. He's amazed. And he's got to find out who the person is. So he runs out front, right? Runs out the front door, turns around. You know where the story's going, right? His name's on the marquee. It's him. He is the master player. He goes back to his room. Suddenly, all of a sudden, what is his life now as a little boy? How does everything change? All of a sudden, now he has direction to his discipline. So now he sees what he can become if he applies himself to practice. Now he sees what's possible, what's available to him, right? You know, in the Christian life, a lot of times we don't understand the direction that has to accompany the disciplines. So Bible reading, let's just be honest, there's times where Bible reading feels like drudgery, doesn't it? There's times like we really don't, why do I pray? I mean, I don't see immediate results. What's the real value in worship? What's the real value in serving? I mean, I know I'm supposed to just serve, but do I just serve to serve? We need direction. What's direction? What's the direction? The direction is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Why don't you turn over there? 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we've got direction. Are you ready for this? Here's our direction. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Your direction for discipline is this: have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Train yourself for godliness. You could say it this way: discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. There's our direction, right? There's our direction. So why do we read our Bible? For the purpose of godliness. Why do we pray? For the purpose of godliness. Why do we spend time with God? For the purpose of godliness. That's our direction now. So let's talk through these things, okay? What's the direction that's available for every Christian? It's found in Romans chapter 8. I'll just put these things up here on the board so you can look at them. What's the direction, the possibility for every Christian? The possibility is that those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. But it doesn't just happen. So your first blank is godliness is predestined for Christians, but it must be grown into. Do you realize that if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, there is the possibility and the plan that you will be conformed to the image of Christ? That's great. But it doesn't just happen. That's your next blank. Godliness does not just happen. It must be pursued. What do I mean by that? Well, yes, conformity to the image of Christ is promised to us, but we can't just sit and wait for it. This next verse is great. Strive for peace with all men and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Look at that verse. Strive for, and then jump over. Strive for holiness. Work for it. We're called to pursue it. We're called to go after it. We're called to run for godliness. And how do we do it? 1 Timothy 4 told us. Somebody tell me, how do we do it? What is the answer from 1 Timothy chapter 4? What is it? How do we get to that? How do we strive? What is it? What does it say? What's the first word there? Discipline. Good, you're getting it. Train yourself for the purpose of godliness. So, the purpose is, the possibility is godliness. Let's just stop for just a second. Would you know that the purpose is godliness? Train yourself for. That word for there, it's a purpose word. For the purpose of godliness. Would you know that right now? So that as you go throughout your week, as you go to open your Bible this week, as you sit down to pray, as you sit down to pursue some of the things that are just built into your day, would you know that godliness is the possibility? Godliness. Like being like God. That is your purpose. That's your direction, okay? So that first quote that is so important, discipline without direction is drudgery, there's your direction. Otherwise, Bible reading is drudgery. Otherwise, why do I read this? Why do I memorize scripture? Why do I meditate? Why? Because we want to be godly. How does it happen then? How does that happen? That's your next little section on our notes. The way it happens is we discipline ourselves as the means to godliness. It's the means to godliness. What's a means? Somebody tell me, if I was to say this is a means to do this, how am I using that word? How am I using the word means in that sentence? If I was to say?
The way, the path.
Yeah, it's like the path. It's the structure that gets you there. Now we know this, but your next blank on your sheet is God uses both external and internal means to make us holy. What are some of the external ways that God makes us holy? One of those would be through circumstances, right? So things around us God orchestrates so that we would see him, so that we would grow and be holy. Another way is through Conversations with friends, right? That's an external thing. It comes from outside. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of his friend, right? So it comes from outside us. This discipline is internal. It works from the inside out. So as you apply yourself to the disciplines of God's word, which we'll talk about what they are in just a second, as you apply yourself to the disciplines, God changes you on the inside. Okay, so get that, understand it, grasp it. But the deal is, it doesn't just come as a trophy. Like, you put in deposits to God and he has to give you money back, right? It's not like you are working and God gives you the paycheck of godliness. It's actually a gift. So that's your next blank. Godliness is a gift to those that pursue it. It's not a trophy, okay? This is really important for us to understand, because sometimes we tend to think of godliness in terms this way. Like, it's the prize for good behavior. Like, if I read my Bible enough times, none of you have ever thought this way, but if I read my Bible enough times, then God will give me the Bible reading trophy, right? And I will be godly. Ever had that thought before? If I just pray enough, then here's what's going to happen. God will give me the trophy of... It's not like that at all. Actually, it's much different. The means to godliness, discipline as the means to godliness, is this. It's basically that we are putting ourselves in line to get a gift from God. So from this trophy image that's up there, we need to kind of turn our minds actually to more of a beggar line. It's really a beggar line. Really training ourselves for the purpose of godliness is just getting in line to get grace from God. Two stories are great for this. They're right next to each other. One of them is in the end of Luke chapter 18. There's a man, his name is Bartimaeus. Anybody know who Bartimaeus is? Somebody tell me some things about Bartimaeus. He was what? He was blind. Okay, what else was he? A beggar. Good job. Which made him a social outcast. So he's outside the city waiting. Somehow he's heard about Jesus. There's a crowd that's gathering because Jesus is coming. So he asks, who's coming? Someone says, it's Jesus. And what does Bartimaeus do? What does he do? He starts yelling, right? He starts yelling, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And you can imagine people trying to quiet him. Shh, don't say that. Not that loud. He just yells louder and louder and louder and louder and louder until Jesus comes over. What's Bartimaeus doing? Is his yelling earning him Jesus coming to him? No, it's really just calling Jesus. It's saying, Jesus, come to me. I need your help. I'm going to get in line for grace. The very next story in the Bible is a story about a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Now, what do we know about Zacchaeus? He was a wee little man, right? I'm sure that's in the text. He was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Okay, he was short. Okay, he couldn't see either. But it wasn't because he was blind. It was because he was too short to see over the shoulders of the crowd. So what does he do? He goes and he puts in the effort to climb the tree, right? He climbs up that tree and he gets a vantage point so that he can see Jesus. And what happens? Jesus comes and awards him the prize for tree climbing. No, what does he do? Jesus comes over and actually invites himself over to his house and says, I'm coming to dine with you today, and then shows him mercy. Zacchaeus is converted. What do those two stories tell us, okay? What do those two stories tell us? They tell us that when we exert effort toward the things of God, God shows us grace. When we exert effort toward the things of God, God gifts us with grace. It's not an earning situation. It is a gift. So let's keep going. Keep going. The next thing is that it's commanded. We got to understand this, because when we sit down to do the disciplines that are a way that we receive a gift from God, it is a command. The word train is a really simple word. Got it up there on the board. In the original language, it's gymnasia, which kind of sounds a little bit like a misspelled version of gymnasium. What happens in a gymnasium? Yeah, you work out. You exercise. You do things that are hard so that you get stronger. Here's another thing I want you to notice. This word is a command. It's a command. So we're commanded to exercise our souls. Commanded to do it. So as we think through these disciplines, here's what I want us to do. I want us to see, how do these disciplines then change us? Remember, the discipline is the plan. The discipline is the means. The discipline is for the purpose of godliness. The discipline is commanded. So what happens as we apply ourselves to these disciplines? This is how I want to finish. The disciplines then change us to become Gospel Grace Church. So turn your sheet over with me real quick. Let's talk through these. How these disciplines then make us into Gospel Grace Church. We're disciplined to become the church. Our simple core values in three sentences, you've been hearing them probably, are live the gospel, channel grace, be the church. Do you realize something? The church is not just what happens up here on this platform. The church is not what comes out of the pastor's mouths. The church is not the activities. It's not this building. The church is you. That's your blank there. The church is you. You are the church. And we wanted to build that into our mission statement, into our core values, in such a way that we are reminded all the time that we are the church. It is us. You are the church. Be the church. What does that look like for us? And why spend time talking about the disciplines? Why spend time walking through the disciplines of the Christian life? Why is this so important? Because we are the church. And what God does with the disciplines is train yourself. Command, train yourself for the purpose of godliness. How will we be the church? We will be the church to the degree that we apply ourselves to the disciplines and God changes us. That's how we will be the church. How will you become Gospel Grace Church? You will become Gospel Grace Church as you put yourself under the plan of the disciplines. You pursue them and allow those things to change you. That's how you will become Gospel Grace Church. So we're going to look at things like Bible reading and prayer, meditation, scripture memory, learning, journaling. We're going to talk through each one of those things, because as you apply yourself to that, you will become Gospel Grace Church. And we will only be Gospel Grace Church to the degree that you personally apply yourselves to the disciplines. That's how we're changed. That's how God grows us. It doesn't happen, doesn't surprise us. It doesn't happen just magically. It takes effort, it's commanded, and it is given to us as we pursue the disciplines. So this week, as you do the normal things of the Christian life, as you read your Bible, as you pray, as you spend time with God, would you just see it that way? Would you even just see it that way? See it as, these are the tools that God uses to grow me, to change me. These are the tools that put me in the way to become godly. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for the time. I pray that you would use it in our lives. I pray that we would really look at disciplines differently this week. So you know, I pray all these things. Amen.